a lot of us don't study
the book of Leviticus, Numbers, because it's slow reading. It's very slow reading and it's intricate. But those were meant for the full-grown church. That's why Paul said that he spoke to the people as carnal, because they couldn't receive the word of God. And it's a lot of things Jesus said. He said, it's a lot of things I have to speak to you, but you're not able to receive them at this time. And that the Spirit would reveal it unto you, that you'll walk in the Spirit would guide you and lead you into all truth. That paraclete, that helper. See, we need a spiritual insight into God's Word, that He circumcises our heart and give us a heart to understand His Word, in which He told us in the book of Deuteronomy, He hadn't given them a heart to perceive. But He has given that to us by the circumcision and writing His laws upon our hearts, and that it's taught to us by the Spirit. So in this, we will backtrack to Leviticus and see and understand, else we'll be caught in the error that the Corinthians and the rest of the church and the church today is, that they don't see that Jesus Christ is, as we were teaching Wednesday night, is all of those offerings in the Old Testament. See, the Old Testament was just a shadow of things to come, but He was that one sacrifice that was offered up one time for the sins of the world. But He's the meat offering, the meal offering, the cereal offering. All those sacrifices pointed to Jesus Christ. That's why we have to be careful. We have to be careful with the Word of God. We can't handle it any kind of way. This man that had came to Jesus in the book of Luke, if you look at that chapter, he asks Jesus about the inheritance. Jesus was in a discourse with the Pharisees about hypocrisy in the way that they were living their lives. But what happened when he said, "Well, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me," Jesus immediately took him to a point on covetousness. And right after he said that, Jesus said, "Man, who has made me a judge or a divider over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." So it was the idea that this man was asking Jesus to adjudicate something that the law of God had already adjudicated. He should have known what the Jewish law was, that elder brother should receive what? The double portion of the inheritance according to Jewish law, and that he was to receive a portion after that. All of the rest of the children should receive another portion. See, but in covetousness, he wanted that which was his brother's. So we see in the book of Kings here, the 12th chapter, and I'm not going to read it all, but we will see where Joash took over, and that's the son that was saved away from Athaliah. And we see in this chapter where, verse 2, it says that Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days wherein Jehoiada was priest, who instructed him. Now, that's a key verse in this, because we're going to talk about next week that this was propped up faith. This wasn't faith of his own. This was someone else's faith. This was Jehoiada's faith, but he was to be a ruler, a judge over the people. He was the king, and it's just as the churches are today and the people are operating today in the flesh without an insight to God, and it's not real. It's not real how we're offering God's money, His sacrifices, and dealing with the people. And that way you can't see your enemies around you or whatever. You can't be a leader. And what happened was he inherited the throne. So to be a ruler, a judge over the people, he would have to have been anointed by God, appointed by God, ordained by God, and following God. And that's how we have false priests and false prophets, in other words, Pharisees these days. And he says, now, do what they say do because it's the law, but don't, you have to follow their actions. And this is, I don't really like preaching on this. a lot of preachers, you know, and like I said, it has to do with a lot of the Word of Faith churches, which are stronger in this. But I think a lot of it is preached wrong if it's just by prosperity. It says, and Joash did that which was right, but the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. I'm going to come back to that. That's going to be key. But and keep on in the fourth verse. It says, Joash said to the priest, all the money of the dedicated things that are brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into the house, and any man's bringing to the house of the Lord, let the priest take it to the temple, take it to them, and every man is a cleanse, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found. But it was so that in the 23rd year of King Joash, the priest had not repaired the breaches of the house. Even though they were receiving the money, they hadn't repaired the breaches of the house. Then the king Joash called for Jehoiada, the priest, and the other priests, and said unto them, why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. And the priest consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. So in here, we had some of the priests that wasn't going to do what the king told them to do. This was, let's say, tithe money. This was trespass money. This was the offerings that was coming into the house of God, in which this was a dedicated fund. Just like, we just put it all under one heading, not tithes and offerings, for the understanding of the people, because the operational aspects of that may have changed some. But it's still the basic thing is the way God did it in the book of Leviticus, and this was considered the heave offering. I don't know if you've studied the heave offering or looked at the heave offering, but the priest was getting the money coming into church, as a lot of people now, and they were living off that money. That money was going to them, everything that the people was giving them, and it wasn't going to the house of God. And so Jehoiada, him being that was his sanctuary, remember that's where he was hid at as a child, and he had respect for his home. I don't know how much it was for the Lord, but Jehoiada was still alive. That would say like his stepfather and Jehoshaphat, the lady, Jehoiada's wife who had saved him and hid him, was like his mother. And they had raised him in that way, and any man would take care of his home. And he had respect unto the temple in that aspect. He said, well, why are you not repairing this? You're receiving the money or whatever, and you're not doing right by that. And so he said, don't take any more of the money, but put it in the house, just like we had it back there at the back of the church. He put a bucket at the back of the church, at the back of the sanctuary. Just drop the money in there, and when it gets full, we will give it into the hands of the people doing the work, and we will get this work done on the temple. We will repair the temple. Because the priests were looking out for themselves. Often is used to designate contributions or gifts to God, but which was set apart specifically for the priests. Look at Numbers 5 and 10 for the flying that out. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or woman shall commit any sin that they men commit to a trespass against the Lord, and that person be guilty, then they shall confess their sin which they have done, and he shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof. If it was a lamb or something, this is an agricultural society, if it was something of value that, say, let's see what we can use, 25, four parts of that 25 of the whole, it's hard to do without money, but let's do it according to tithes and all. If it was $100, if that offering was worth $100 in which he sinned and trespassed against God, which was wrong, and he gave it to the priest, he would give that $100, but it says the fifth part thereof, that fifth part, what's a fifth of that $100? It would be $20, right? So that over portion also would be given. It would be the whole plus that fifth portion, that's $120. that would be the same as tithes and offerings, because the principal is what you owe. The 20% is what is the interest off that. That's why we say just say tithes and offerings. That's why the church preaches tithes and offerings. If you hadn't given the tithes, you hadn't gave that which you were supposed to give. The offerings that over should be over and above your tithe. That was commanded by God. But in the New Testament, he said he didn't change any laws. He didn't do anything to the law. But we see that it's a voluntary offering. It's a free will offering. Those are free offerings that you offer up willingly, because when you give yourself to God, your body is the living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. So if Christ is living in you through grace, you carry out God's law. You understanding what I'm saying? In other words, there's no legal requirement of that, but that's something you willfully do, because now you that sacrifice, as you start to see sin in your life, you give unto God out of your heart as he convicts you. That's why God loves the cheerful or the thrifty giver, and if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. But as God had convinced each one of us to give, let him give in that fashion. So in the New Testament, we see people not given or held to account. That's kind of a legalistic perspective if you're in a church or somewhere and they compel you or make you give a certain portion or whatever, because we don't know what comes up or why you don't give or whatever. And if you've made a covenant with grace, of grace with God, you're no longer under the law. So this is something that the priest don't take, or the preacher shouldn't preach, just hammer in, because he knows you're not tithing this or doing that. That should be just like the left hand not knowing what the right hand do. That's between you and God. And if you couldn't give or didn't give, or this is what you have to give, it's the conviction that God gives you. Now, the farther away from God that you get, the less you'll give to God, because God's no longer talking to you or working on you. You have no compulsion for the house of God like these priests. They had no compassion or compulsion for the house of God, so they allowed God's house to deteriorate, and the breaches, it was breaches in the wall, the church was falling apart. We see in the book of Haggai and Micah, they say, well, you think it's time to dwell in your steel houses and everything, and my house lay in disrepair or disrepute? So we got people out there today at the parades everywhere and doing things in life. This is their day. Tomorrow is their day. Every day is their day. They say they believe it in God, but how much of them are actually robbing God? God said, you're robbing me in tithes and offerings. You're not being convicted by me, because you're not under my word to hear that those offerings are my shed blood. Those sacrifices, that I did for you, that my blood was shed for you, that was the sacrifice that I gave to you. In turn, you should wholly give your body to me instead of living in pleasure. So under the New Testament, it's preaching that convicts us, not the letter of the law, because the letter of the law kills it. So if a church is holding you to a legal stand, you got a problem. If you're not convicted by preaching, if you're not convicted by teaching, you have a problem. You're not none of Jesus Christ. The preaching should convince you to where you cheerfully and willfully give. Don't pass the bucket around two or three times trying to get something out of somebody or go to somebody. And most preachers, and that's the way we would have it here, that you don't want to be the secretary. You don't want to know what anybody's giving, because then you can't preach without impartiality. You don't need to know that. That's between that person and God. Okay, so if we see this, it says, but if any man is a kinsman, go on about it, and instead of getting bogged down in that, we will go on and say, every man's offering of all the holy things of the children of Israel, which they bring unto the priest, shall be his, and every man's hallowed things shall be his. Whosoever in it man giveth the priest, it shall be his. So we see here that there was an offering that belonged to the priest. Those trespass offerings and those guilt offerings. But they had combined all of the offerings. Look beside Leviticus 7 and 13. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkled the blood of the offering. So it required the priest to be working, and they didn't have an inheritance among the brethren, so all these things went to that priest. But what happens when Jesus Christ come along? He was that one sin offering. He was that one offering of God. And I explained some of it to you the other night, but we're gonna do it, we have to do that in a teaching study, so you can ask questions and not interrupt or whatever. But we have to do it in a teaching study to break it down. The meat offering, we'll show you where he's the peace offering, where he's the meal offering, where he's all these different offerings, he's representative of Jesus Christ. Everything that's done in the Bible testifies of Jesus Christ. He done it all. It may not be proper English. He did it all? Okay. But all of this was Christ. So if you take of those offerings, he said, you're offering polluted offerings unto me, polluted sacrifices. We see where he got to the point where he says, away with your sin offerings, away with your solemn assemblies. I will not receive any sacrifices of your hand because, why? It's tainted. You've corrupted. You offer the blind, the lame, and the halt on my altar. I won't spell in your assembly any longer. Because it had been robbing God. And a lot of us operate in that fashion there. But we see where the priest wasn't wholly wrong in this, so they would have to have what? A shed offering. Huh? Because it's not wrong for the preacher to receive an income. The preacher's place, Paul said, well, he could have taken from the Corinthian church, but he did. So he says, don't muzzle ox that threaded out the comb. So the offering was split. And that's why you should have a board of elders and a plurality of elders in any church that run the church, so won't one person be tempted to steal or take anything that don't belong to him. The salary is set at a tenth of the tithe. That's what belongs to the preacher in a combined thing, in a combined fashion. And that's what UPC churches, a lot of different churches do. If you have an offering, out of the offering, the tithes and offering, they pay a total, and then the priests take 10% of that. The whole thing is not hitting to go buy jets and Mercedes and all this with, because the church still has to run. It still has to have things for church. So it wouldn't be right then to labor the people with an offering to pay for the preacher's car and his this and that there and all this other stuff, because then what you're doing is robbing the people. You're making them give more, because like I say, if we do it, you can't do it in an agricultural way as they did it then, but they were giving maybe 33 1/3% or so in tithes and offerings back there, because it had a temple tax, they had all kinds of different offerings and taxes that the people paid. So at Leviticus 37:32, it tells you about this. If you brought something to sacrifice unto God, they put it on the offering. They put it on the altar. And as they said in the New Testament, those that work at the altar partake or eat of the altar. So it says, and the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for a heave offering of sacrifices of your peace offering. So that would be the shoulder part, and some portions he would get the breast, some portions, you know, according to what animal that you was offering up. But he couldn't eat the fat of the offering. If he was eating too much of the fat portions of the offering, he was partaking of God's portions. That's what happened with Eli's sons, that they were eating off too much of the fat of the offering. In other words, they was encroaching upon God's part. Okay, here's where a fight starts off, in the 10th chapter of Leviticus. In the 10th chapter of Leviticus, that this is the same as the New Testament now. This is how it breaks down. Moses had, you will have to read that whole 10th chapter when you get home. I can't read it now. It would take too much time to go through it. But his sons had offered up a sacrifice that was wrong, that had taken the fire from the wrong place. And that's why I say in the church we have to worship God in the way in which He prescribed. And they had taken fire from the wrong place and brought off a strange fire before the Lord. And the Lord killed those people. He killed those two sons. But He told Aaron not to stop doing what he was doing or to show mourning or anything, because it wouldn't represent God right to the people that this is what his sons had deserved for not following God's word to the letter. So, and Moses spake and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons that were left, he says, take the meat offering that remaineth of the offering of the Lord made by fire, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. And you shall eat it in a holy place, because it is thine due and thine sons' due of the sacrifices of fire made by the Lord. And the wave breast, and for thine daughters and everything, for it's thine peace from the Lord. So the families of the Levites, so a lot of people say, well, the preacher and his family living good off the church. Well, that's what Leviticus described. Is that even nowadays, that's why, you know, you see a preacher and his children and everybody say, well, all of them living high off the church or whatever, and I'm buying this for them and I'm buying that for them. No, God's providing that for them, and they don't have an inheritance among the people, a work as the people do, and all the Levites wasn't priests. You understand that? They all worked around the temple, so they had to share in those same blessings also, but they didn't get that portion in which the priest's sons and daughters got. So we have to respect those altars, because that's Christ's body, which is broken for us and distributed to each man in the way God had designed it to do. So, in other words, just like he said, we shall be judges and we shall judge the world. We have to distribute God's resources, and we have to be stewards of God's finances, the money God places in our hands, the things and the resources God gives us. We have to direct that the way God describes in his word to be directed, and he'll give us more understanding or more light to see just how his church is working in this world. And even the people in the church that are not serving God right don't see how the church is operating. The ones that are stingily giving to the church, the ones that are not operating according to God's word, you want theirs, because they're going to see everybody getting theirs and they're going to say, well, I'm going to get mine. And that's how the church is corrupt from inside, from the corrupt priests, from the corrupt people that's in the church that see things going on, but they don't understand it. They're not understanding how God is divvying up the power, because why? Their hearts are not with God, and even Jehoash was one of these people. Even though he was a ruler and a judge, he didn't understand this. He was operating off the faith of Jehoiada, the priest. That's why it says he served God as long as Jehoiada was alive. Because after Jehoiada died, he changed. He didn't do this any longer. He didn't understand God, and the people within the church corrupted him. A lot of these churches start off with good preachers, and some of the people corrupt the preachers. Huh? Some of the people corrupt the preachers, and vice versa. In some churches, the preacher corrupts the people. But let's keep going here. So it was supposed to be shared. So let's go to verse 7 of our text that we are reading here, verse 7 through 9. Chapter 10 of Kings, verse 7 through 9. You there? It says, and it came to pass when the letter came to them, am I at the right place? 12th chapter, I'm sorry. Then King Jehoash called Jehoiada the priest and the other priests, and said unto them, take no more money from the house that was brought into the Lord. And it was so when they saw that there was...
How did I scratch that?
Verse 16, I'm sorry. The trespass money and the sin money was not brought into the house of the Lord. It was the priest. verse 16 there. So look at the two verses I read earlier, though. Verse 16 says, the trespass money and the sin money was not brought in the house of the Lord. It wasn't put in that box. But go back up to the 7th verse where it says, now, therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. And the priest consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the house of the breaches. We just would take this. Now, that wasn't all of the priests doing that. They were stealing from the church. They were stealing from the money that was brought into the church. But all the time, they were being compensated by the trespass and the sin offering. Do you see what kind of conspiracy evolving here? But Joash seen that the repairs were getting done unto the church. And that's what a lot of people understand, like the Lord's churches, they see the churches getting built. And people take delight in wonderful buildings. And like during the Apostles' Day, they say, well, look, at the temple or whatever, you know. And they were fascinated with the temple. But Jesus said, well, look, you see that? Not a stone within a stone will be left upon it. Why? Why was that? He would have that beautiful building. Why was he going to destroy the church? The people were corrupt. He chased the money changers out. You had built this house with corrupted money. We built this nation with corrupted money. That's why the nation is coming apart. That's why the churches will come apart. That's why in Revelation, all of those churches that he said he was going to fight against, because those churches had become corrupt. He said, I'm going to fight against you with the sword of my mouth, with the word of God. You're going to be judged by the word of God. And we see Joash was judged by the word of God because he allowed it to be corrupt. People are against to build big buildings. They love buildings. They love cars. They love their own. But in there, people are taking away and corrupting the offerings and the givings of God. That's the body of Christ that you're corrupting, because he's our offering. He's our peace. He's our source. It's God's before it come to us. He loans us the 90% to see what we would do with that 90%. So, as the people did that corruption, now, I got some verses in there, and I would keep y'all in here all day trying to go through all those verses. But if you look at them, God had anticipated this. Like I said, it was just a shadow of things that were to come. But God had it designated where the priests would receive theirs, and the people would receive theirs, and the church would receive theirs. And herein, when the dispute came about, we found out that as they were robbing God, these same conspirators came unto Joash. Look at verse 17 through 18. When they came unto Joash, you there? It says, Then Hazael, the king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it, and Hazael set his face to go to Jerusalem. That's when Joash took all the temple things out of the house of God to pay off Hazael. He gave away God's stuff to pay off this guy from coming against him, because Jehoiada was dead at this time. If you don't have a strong faith, God's not going to rebuke the devourer. God's not going to rebuke the people that's going to repossess your houses. That's why we have housing foreclosures across the nation. God's not going to rebuke the guys from firing you and laying off. That's why unemployment is to the point where it is. God's not going to rebuke the cankerworm, the locust, or anything from devouring your finances, because they were God's anyhow. They were God's in the beginning, and you will earn money to find out that you're putting it in pocket with holes in. When you get paid, well, something came up, my car broke, my washing machine broke, something happened with the refrigerator. I missed a few hours here and I'm short here, but now my daughter needs this, my son needs this, something's going on with the family. You'll never be able to make ends meet, and this is because you had stole from God. You had robbed God, and you cursed with a curse. So now you can't catch up, because you had been, Titus called it, purloin. And I left about the church that I was baptized in 50 years ago. After, you know, I was baptized 50 years ago in this church, and I came back as an elder there, and I had this preacher there, you know, and everything, but I was getting back in, was having Bible study. I said, well, what that word, purloin, in me? And he gave me some strange definition. I said, that don't sound like, I don't think that's right. I said, where you got that definition from? And he told me, but it wasn't right. And this was, I didn't know I was touching upon a sore spot here. But this was going on in the church, and a lot of it broke up. The church was breaking up, and they were fighting over things. And listen what purloin means. It means to sequestrate oneself. In other words, to embezzle, to keep back. You got a mission offering over here. You got a sick offering over here. You got all these offerings, and the deacon's taking a little bit out of the church. The preacher taking a little bit here. Purloin is to steal as in small amounts. You know, it's like snipping French fries. You know, you ever go to the store to get a hamburger or something, or get a combo or something, and you take a couple out of there, you know, just two or three to eat a snippet of it? Huh? You know, some people take snippets of God's money. Some people, that's purloin, and that's embezzling, and that's taking something that you have been entrusted with, and it's not yours. Well, my tithe is $500, but I'm going to take $60 out of it. He ain't going to miss it. See, because the goodness of God, God allows things to go so long, we can't get to the point, well, you know, I didn't got off with that. Your conscience getting seared, now you don't feel guilty taking a little bit more. You start getting addicted, and you start not convinced. It's like stealing time from God, not going to church. He said, forsake not the assembling together of your church. These people that's been in churches, when they start, they miss a few. Sometimes you miss too many times in a row. You get so lost that you don't feel right coming back. You ever be off of work, you feel strange coming back on vacation like you're coming to a whole new place? You know, sometimes when you start taking, you become addicted to that. It's like a drug or a panacea. That's why everything has to be done in moderation. But Titus says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us denying ungodly lust, and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. See, but what happens is when we start stealing from God and not resisting the devil, he's not going to flee from us. He's going to put more ideas in there. Well, you know, it ain't going to hurt. I deserve this. I work for this. I can't pay this. I can't pay that. Well, I'm going to enjoy myself. And you will go to get it from God. That was God's sheep that died. That I'm not going to give him the best of the sheep. And say, you offer the blame, the blind, the lame, and the haughty. Say, offer it to your governor and see, will he take it? Remember, I'm telling you, the governor don't trust you. Before you get your check, you will see that he takes his taxes out. And God asks us for the first fruit of our earnings. That's why most people tithe off their gross. And if they tithe off the gross, when they do get the income tax back, that's theirs because they've paid on that already. But if you tithe off the minimum and then you get that tax, most people that don't tithe off, that tithe after that, they will keep that income tax too. See, but that's purloin. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul. And that's what happened with God, that there are certain dedicated funds from God, and God says, look, give me the first fruits of your offering and have faith that the rest I'm going to meet. Well, the more you teach that to your children and the more you do that, it requires you to have faith that God's going to meet those other requirements. Plus, it's also going to cause discipline in your life to know that, well, I'm going to have to pay God this, but you give God's state more respect than you do God because, you know, God's state will come turn your lights off. But see, God doesn't do that to us, and that's why God is he's long-suffering, but everything that he's showing us, and Zechariah came in and told Joash that he wasn't doing right, and Joash killed him. But that's why God sent Hazael up against Joash. So, to the rich people in the world, in that economy, he told them, he said, in the book of James, that was the Lord of Sabaoth. You rich men, go weep and howl, for your misery shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is canked, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and you shall eat flesh as this was with fire. But they were holding back the wages of the laborers, just like in this time and day, the line between the wealthier and the middle class and the poor is getting larger. That they're not giving, you know, your salary is not rising at the cost of inflation in what the wealthier portions are. And God's saying that's why America is suffering, because he has to bring down the wealthy also, because they're corrupted. Satan works from all ends. That's why we have to keep the middle ground and keep God's law, because there are a lot of poor people that are getting what's coming to them. There are a lot of wealthy people that's getting what's coming to them. Don't think that just because somebody's poor in this class, they're rich, that they're this. No, God's looking to judge the heart, the intent of the heart. He's looking for those that serving him. Those are the ones he's going to preserve from the tribulation that's coming. He's going to preserve those and keep those people. So, as he was instructed in the law, he said, I want people to willfully, and all this is in your notes, but I'm kind of having to summarize it here. But if you see that God only took that which the people were willing to give him because of the covenant he made last week. Remember the people when Joash was installed as king, and they said that we will serve God, we will do this? That's the same vow we made when Jesus Christ came into our life, that we was to serve him, that we were in a covenant with Jesus Christ. He said, I'll be your God. All you have to seek me and follow my commandments. But see, it's a covenant of grace, and he is not forcing this upon you. He wants you to cheerfully and willfully give to him. If you notice, Jesus Christ asked for no offerings. He asked for no money. This was given to him. He had people just like Jehoiada had that was stealing from him. We're going to read next week where the princes came to Jehoiada and told him, we will have to stop doing this way and doing that way. He got away from God after Jehoiada died, because he was living that way because of Jehoiada's presence. He was living off someone else's faith. There are a lot of children that are living off their parents' faith. The only reason they go to church is because of their parents. That's the only reason they go. There are a lot of wives and husbands are together because, well, the husband go to church, so the wife is kind of living off his faith. Or the wife go to church, but the husband's kind of living off her faith. And if we look at church after church, that's what the churches are packed with, but there's no cohesion there. There's no unity of following God there. They have a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. That's why the temple is going to be destroyed. God came in and destroyed the temple. God would destroy our temples because these temples of God, if we're the temple of God and we're stealing from God, that's why, as with Joash, God allowed sickness to come up on him, and his own people threw him in his bed as conspirators, even though he had did all this for the house of God. A lot of people sin for God and do things for God, but as the Pharisees, Jesus said, these things you ought to have done, and the others not left undone. You should tithe, you should give, but in the day that you come to me and say, didn't I do all this in your name, he's going to say, I never knew you, because God looking for sacrifices without a spot or a blemish, and that should be your life. If your life has corruption in it, if it hadn't been purged, you offered him what? A blemish sacrifice. Your life has covetousness in it. He said, beware of covetousness. You hadn't gotten rid of it. Therefore, it it is your reasonable servant to offer your body as a living sacrifice. God doesn't take tainted sacrifice. Your body is no longer your body. It belongs to Christ. If you're corrupting your body, if you're looking at the wrong thing, if you're on the internet looking at pornographic images, if you there having conversations with somebody in cyberspace, even though you never meet that person, you're playing the role. That is a corrupt sacrifice. God doesn't take corrupt sacrifices. Your life is no longer yours, so you've died to sin. If you've died to sin, why live any longer therein? So the trespass offering, you offering, has been offered to God once. We read that in Hebrew the other night. If after you have been enlightened, and then you crucify Christ again, it is impossible to renew those into repentance because you've counted the blood of the sacrifice as an unworthy thing. The conscience was telling you, you shouldn't do that, that you should die to self, die to worldly pleasures, deny ungodly lusts. So somewhere or another, the grace of God appeared to you because it's a covenant of grace. God had told you, now you're convicted. You say, you know, something told me not to do that. You will have to get to the point where you start listening at something, and something will get stronger and stronger, and you'll walk in the light as he's in the light, because God has no fellowship with the dark deeds of darkness. He wants you to dwell in the light as he's in the light, not to keep coming back and forth, because he who is born of God sinneth not, his seed remaineth. He doesn't practice sin. But if you sin willfully, you got a problem then. The punishment will be greater. The punishment was greater on the adulterous woman that he says, go and sin no more. Even though God had caught her in sin, sin no more was more powerful. So we shouldn't be sinning. We should be going to church under the fivefold ministry where it's built up the saints. It's for the edifying of the saints. It's to present you a chaste virgin, not an adulterer. See, because we're under adulterous spirits, we've been partaking of too many different altars. We've been eating of that which is tainted. And God said, you can't partake of the devil of demons and the table of God. You cannot serve God and mammon. There has to be a dying to gain your life. So Jehoash, all he did out of faithfulness was lost. Because why? He didn't take the word of God and assimilate it and apply it to itself and make it come alive to him, no matter who came to him. Don't care who come to you. Don't care if your wife come to you. Samson should have told Delilah. No. She said, if you love me, you'll do this, Samson. But he was a Nazarite. It was a vow of God. God departed from him and he knew not. She still got burned up. They still burned her heart in her father's house up. He got his eyes put out. Huh? Abraham shouldn't have listened to Sarah. Huh? What happened with the Shulamite? She lived, her husband died. What happened to Naomi? Her husband died. He left the breadbasket. He left where God had placed him. If God had put you there to lead, you should lead. You should be strong. And sometimes the temptress will come to you, but it says, yield not to temptation. The temptation is not sin. That's trying you. It's only a trial. But when you yield, it becomes sin. It's trying to appeal to something in you. But when you don't think that women can see things in men, and men can see things in women. These people seeing afar off that Jehoash was able to be corrupted, that they could corrupt him. You know, you think that you scoping her out, she don't have to take all those double looks at you to scope you out and know what's going on. You see, the devil knows you better than you know yourself. You have to be aware of the devices of Satan. So what you have to do is mortify the deeds of your body, resist temptation, resist the devil. And as you come strong, he's become even stronger. But God gives you the strength to overcome anything. You just put it there and flee away from sin. Don't play with it, though. Don't tease sin, because sin is not to be played with. It's stronger than we think we are. You're not as strong as temptation is. You need Jesus Christ, and by Christ I can overcome all things. So if your body's that sacrifice, you got to die to self. Desire that you might want to do it, but I can't do that. Joseph fled out the house and said, I can't do this and sin against God. It might make you look bad in the world, but you're not trying to please the world, you're trying to please God. David was a strong man, he couldn't overcome it. It got to David, he said, I sinned against God. He didn't say he sinned against Bathsheba. He said he sinned against God. Sin is against God because it's missing the mark. And if your body's a sacrifice, you remember that it is Christ that liveth in you. And that when you do something, you're doing it to Christ. If you're doing it to all of the things of this world, that's Christ you're playing with. The sacrifices are nothing to be played with. God kills over that. And I want you just to pray over it as you read these things that I have in the notes to see how that this was a life and death situation. Ananias and Sapphira, as I close, they gave to God. Was this a... Who in here knows that didn't nobody ask them what they was going to give to God? But Peter said, you didn't lie to me, you lied to the Holy Ghost. It was theirs. Why would they have to lie about it? Huh? If you will give to God, give to God. If you don't have it to give to God, you don't have to make excuses. Just don't give it. Don't say it's better not to do something. It's your money. You got money in your pocket, so you can give it to me. If you want it, you don't have to give it to me. It's yours. But don't make excuses to lie about it. I ain't got it to give you. I didn't say I didn't have it. I don't have it to give you. Huh? But that's what they get for asking. That's why we don't ask. I don't think I've ever... Like Samuel said, whose ox have he taken? Whose this have he taken? Put the bucket there. Let them put it in if they want. I don't know what's going on in somebody's life or somebody's problem. And I force you to give, and then that can mess you up or mess you up there. Well, you may not be at the same spot I am in God. You shame people about giving. They may not have it to give. That's between them and God. God's the supplier for his church. God's the supplier for his people. You freely give to God, and God's going to grow you. God's going to grow you. God's going to lead you and guide you and strengthen you, and he's going to what? He's going to give you back to give to him. He's going to supply what seed to the soul. Heavenly Father, as we speak your word, Lord God, I could even deliver it, Lord God, in the multitude in which I've received it this week, Lord God, in which it convicted me, Lord God. I don't know about your people, Lord God, and I've given them the word if you've given it to me, Lord God. But the conviction in my heart, Lord God, the things that you've shown me this week about myself, Lord God, to show that I'm one of the chiefest of sinners, as Paul said, Lord God. That's why we examine ourselves, Lord God, and your word as a preacher, God, is like a double-edged sword, Lord God. It sees my heart. It sees, Lord God, my whole life, Lord God, that I've been the problem. I've been my problem, Lord God. Help your people, Lord God, to see, Lord God, that it's them, Lord God, and that you were willing all the time, Lord God, to set them on high, to glorify them and make them a people of your choosing, Lord God, a glorified people, Lord God. But it is us that if we would just humble ourselves and pray, Lord God, that you would turn and bless us, Lord God, that your face would shine on us, Lord God, and that you would open the windows of heaven unto us, Lord God. As your people go out, Lord God, bless them coming in and going out, Lord God. Help multiply your word in their heart, Lord God, that they would know you more intimately, Lord God, and endure suffering, Lord God, and the denying of self. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, as I said, I had gotten so much this week on this, and it made me look at myself so much that I said that I couldn't put it together in an hour. So what we're going to do is... I want you to read and study a lot of those notes I have there and examine yourself in it and ask God to enlighten you because it's going to get bad. It's about to get bad. Speaking.